Okay, well, I'm aware of the fact that we're meant to be talking about this due diligence question. So, do you all have any proposals for if there is a necessity for commonality, or what we can do to make it easier to handle? Is having a list which is only for the distribution of communications to the authorized representatives. No policy, nothing but administrative. Is that useful or?
No, can I tell you? The railers are. We don't have. I am always uncomfortable about who makes the choice about what information goes out, especially if it's settled information to just certain people. I really am uncomfortable about it because our railer does not allow single membership, but we allow them to see whatever we're talking about, and they can talk about it too. So the problem that I have with that is that if you restrict the circulation too tightly, you are really disenfranchising others who might wish to speak who are not members of the ACTA railers. That's my problem.
But what we were talking about before you came in was like when we have an application and there's a due diligence report on it that may not be very nice, you know, that might be kind of negative, like France at Large's was, and we don't want that going to a whole mailing list, which could be forwarded all over the world.
Yeah.
That's the problem we were discussing.
Yeah, that might be a little complex. I've had a couple of those, and I can tell you they are very in the best of times, there is hardly any one person connected with ICANN Lacrolo Business who will know a lot about a participant. An applicant in the best of times. And so the balance that you we're striving to, and Nick, we talk about this, the balance we're trying to strive is how do we get the information that we get the word out that we need some data on this group to the right people, and at the same time limit what we ask them about. That's a real difficult balance. And I sit here, I don't know the answer to it. I don't know, because I can tell you from my first thing with this, I made a cardinal mistake. I thought I saw an application, due diligence came, and I said, well, the first persons I would ask are the people on my list. Do you know these people? As it happens, they are cross memberships.
Yeah.
Well, who would have thunk? There are cross memberships, and I didn't know that, and so it actually ended up with one person getting it who is familiar with and is actually a part of this group, but that person is also part of an established group, and we got caught, plain and simple. We got caught. Yeah, we got caught. Because I don't know. I don't know. It's very complex.
Oh. Can I just make a suggestion? I don't think one size fits all. Can I just make a request to staff to talk individually to each RALO and figure out what's best for them? Because what's best for one region might not be best for another. I know in our case we make heavy use of Skype to be able to talk, which allows us to do one-on-one as necessary. And sometimes if this just means a big series of one-on-one conversations, we have 13 ALSs. We can make 13 conversations and even one-on-one do this. I'm just suggesting one size doesn't fit all, and it might just be having whatever is comfortable for each region.
Well, and well, it's all right if it's more work for us. That's better than it being more work for you all, especially when it's admin work. So we don't, you know, I'm mostly concerned that it not become endlessly burdensome to handle ALS applications for all of you. So, well, we'll do that. We'll talk, and you know, you can all have different approaches to this. You can have a list that's private, or not have a list, whatever you like. Now, the next thing is materials for disseminating to users, and I see Kieran has kindly joined us because, of course, his name is taken in vain liberally on the spreadsheet. You all have seen this before because these are the proposals that you all have made, which we've reviewed at the last two meetings, and involve Kieran and me a whole lot, and Penelope, for all of you who have not met Penelope Wren, by the way, Penelope is there, and Penelope is the person who has finally managed to bludgeon through all the obstacles to getting the short introductory papers on ICANN issues done. Not all of them, but the reason we have even four is because Penelope was tasked with not taking no from an answer from any of the various people who could have and tried to, in some cases, say no. So she and Denise sort of piloted that ship finally to the shore after being lost at sea for almost the length of time of Odysseus in Greek history. So there will be more of these now. Hopefully it will be a little less painful to extract them, but there will be more of them. And we've ordered them in five languages, those editions. We just got Spanish and French last night, which are being posted today, as well as the introductory language. So soon I'll be pointing you all to the various language editions.
I was about to tell you that one of the things I do with these documents, I have a few fellows in the newspaper that I pass things to, and on a Wednesday or so, when newspapers get kind of stretch for news, they put it in the paper as is. The thing is, though, you always stump for an about ICANN piece. You know, you need a paragraph to. So I am very uncomfortable writing that for them. I would have preferred that we get something from ICANN. Just a paragraph, because they have different tactics to get the word out. I mean, my tactic is try to get some of these things in the public domain through the public newspapers. It's easy, it's cheap, it reaches a lot of people. I would like to see us have a standardized about ICANN paragraph. Oh, lovely.
I was looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
The kind of paragraph that's at the bottom of your regular press release.
Press release, right.
And for some reason it seems to be different even on our own website.
It is.
Yes, right.
It is.
So I am writing that right now. In a longer piece about ICANN policy development, there is about ICANN.
Right. So that would help tremendously, Penelope. Thank you very much. It would help.
It's always good to know who you are in writing. In other ways, too. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that, since all of you probably had not met Penelope, but that's her role in the policy unit, is actually to improve communications and help ensure that communications which are more targeted to the different volunteer communities are produced. So there's an easy way. If you have a suggestion, send it to us, but also please feel free to send them to her about anything related to how we communicate externally. Is
right,
really.
And that is a question I could ask the Global Partnerships Group. What is particular about communicating with users that
And obviously, Kieran has a fairly central role in this, since public participation is his brief. So whoever you send it to, we will send it. We will make sure that it arrives at everybody's email box.
I think all staff at this point are aware that, especially coming out of some of the summit activities, there's an attempt to make a template of something that we've been calling policy briefs that not only include factual information from the staff and others on the history of an issue, on the factual basis of an issue, but then that also include something that's created within ALAC that's something that probably shouldn't be done by staff that would have our perspectives on the issue, which is something that's not necessarily factual but is also of use to our membership. And so is there anyone at the front of the table that isn't aware of these things? What we've done is we created a template, and Danny Younger, in fact, I believe, has filled them in for one on Fast Flux. And the first template we did was on tasting. And so the idea was to have a common structure between all of them that had, here's the factual information, here's the history, and here's the at-large point of view to date.
I'll point them out to you. Karen, do you want to say something about your efforts as they relate to these subjects? I know that you're such a shy and retiring person, you won't have any thoughts.
I don't know where to start. I'm glad that we've got Penelope because it's and Rob, because before it was just me trying to find time. And I went through the assault course of treacle, and I got out 3 fact sheets, I think, before I decided it wasn't worth it. I couldn't take it, and I had other things to do. So that's terrific. The about ICANN text, I can tell you there's actually 3 versions of about ICANN text, and I can tell you exactly why. One was the one that that we were born with, which is almost incomprehensible. The second was the one that I managed, that I wrote. And third is the one that we managed to get through because it's a combination of the two. So I've been gradually transitioning from the incomprehensible to the medium to the one that makes sense to everyone. So it's been a gradual process, and you'll see that websites accidentally pick up the new about ICANN text every now and again.
Accidentally,
every now and again. And so far, no one has complained. So there you go. I'll tell you that. And if anyone listens to this, I'm going to be in appalling trouble. So that's the about ICANN text explanation. So we've got these various documents coming out, which is terrific. We've got the translation program, which has just started rolling, which Nick is a major, major part of, so he'll be able to tell you all at great length. Is it worth me going through the list with the things with my name on? I should say, I'm sorry I'm late. I got sucked into a 50.
No, it's okay. Minutes. Yeah, I would say go through.
So end user focus summary is number one. Well, we're finally getting there, which is good, and they make sense. There was some issue with the new TLDs fact sheet, but we got that through. That was through the lawyers and the last little hurdle yesterday, so that's good. These quarterly CDs. Now, no one got back to me on these CDs. I gave you all a CD whenever we were in Delhi. It was in Delhi. And I was kind of waiting to see if that was useful and what people thought. But I've not had an email or a Skype message or anything. So that's really up to that's really your fault. So I'm putting that on you.
Didier, did you get some use out of the CDs that were given out in Delhi?
Okay.
Did you use them? I mean, did anybody get them? Did they like them?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good. So the reason I ask is because that was a quick and easy job, but it still took a lot of time. So if they are very useful, and you can provide me saying they were useful because I did this here and I did that, I'd like some, feedback on it. And, I occasionally see, I've got most of you on Skype, I think, and I occasionally see you pop up, and I occasionally send emails or Skype messages to people if I see them and I've got something interesting to say. But, same as ever, I'm still here and I'm still happy to talk to anyone at any point, as long as it's not, Saturday or 2 a.m. Secretaries provide updates for the ICANN newsletter. Well, go ahead. Seriously, send them to me. I'm trying to make it a little bit better so I don't finish them at 2 a.m. every morning. So now at 3:30, I have a down by the staff area, and I sit there and I try and suck up information from people. So,
this was actually the monthly newsletter.
Oh, the monthly newsletter. Oh, in that case, terrific. I tell you what we've done with what I've done with the magazine is I've tried to make it more eye-canny. So, Policy now does a policy update, which is terrific, and we're putting that out. That goes out as a subscribable newsletter. I've been taking just summaries of that and putting it in the magazine and then linking through to the policy update. And then I'm doing the same for the compliance newsletter, doing a summary of the newsletter, which itself is a summary of the work, and then linking through to the newsletter. So if you do similar things and you have larger summaries, then I'd just make the summary of the summaries and link through to the to your summaries, which will then link through to, and that's my system. You start out very simple, click through, large explanation, click through the full text. So I think that gives people the, you know, a fast entry point into everything that ICANN is doing. So if you knock them up and you send them to me, then they appear. It's a simple.
Or even an idea for something you think should appear. The other thing I would say is they're also being translated. The ICANN newsletters are being translated, and the monthly policy summaries are also now starting to be translated into French and Spanish. And I've suggested that it be possible for people to subscribe. You can subscribe to the policy updates, but to make it possible so you can subscribe in Spanish or French, if you wish. And we ought to do the same thing with the newsletter, I think.
Yeah, we'll do that. We're still just trying to deal with the translation. It's starting proper after this meeting. So we're still trying to deal with the workflow. So what you do is you put something out, and then you put it out for translation, and it comes back in multiple languages. Then you have to basically do five times the amount of uploading of files and sorting out and rearranging. And it's not simple. So we're figuring out how we do that most efficiently. And once you've got it so that it doesn't fall down, so people don't say, where the hell is my French version? Once you've got that workflow sorted and we've got a system that's consistent, then we'll start building it all up. It's actually very easy to set up a sign-up for the newsletter in French mailing list, and that's exactly what we'll do once we've got the workflow sorted. And I think we're there, but Nick can tell you all about this. Nick is picking up a big chunk of this. So that's there's significant progress on that, and I think by Cairo we should actually... you should be saying, oh, well, thank you so much, this has all worked properly. That should be fun. What else?
Just a comment on that, and I know it says secretariats to provide you with information for that newsletter, and I've actually thought about that every now and again. That's number five. I've actually thought about that now and again and thought, there's nothing my region's doing that's reportable, or not that it's reportable, but that would be interesting. I mean, we're all just working on the usual ICANN stuff, so I think that's why you probably haven't got a lot of secretariat input into that.
So, okay, there's no shortage of stuff going on with ICANN, so if you supply something, we'll stick it in. If you don't, we won't,
Even if it is, there's a Naralo statement on domain tasting that's different, it can be anything.
Maybe a summit update or something like that, maybe.
The only problem with that is that when there's a regional statement on something like that, oftentimes we're trying to perhaps work with the rest of ALAC to turn a regional statement into a global statement, and bringing stuff like that on an interim basis. I would only see that having happened if we'd have given up going global with it and just said, well, this is just North American view. Frankly, I hope that not to happen too often.
Right. I was about to say that a lot of these things we want to work on the policy areas. As you know, Nick, we have a lot of argy-bargy going on. And it's difficult to get people to recognize that we're working through the ALAC, and so we're looking for a global position on it. And I wouldn't want to do anything that would get them into the idea that ours is the final statement. Because in our region, it is really believed that ours is the final statement. And they get very upset when they find out, well, the statement is not carried just the way we thought it was. So I'd be very cautious about that.
Is it useful, Kieran, if people were to send in important meetings at which community members of various kinds would be that are upcoming in a region? Do we have an event section on like the monthly newsletter for upcoming?
We've got an upcoming events thing which I use as and when. Often, if there's something that's interesting that's coming up, I just add it in. I mean, it's just like writing a newspaper. It's just like, what's the news? What have we got? What's the content? Stick it in. I compile it. So I know that, there's a lot of difficult little politics, and I'm never going to be able to get all the little bits, so I rely on you to judge it. And then send me the stuff, and if you put explanatory notes on it, if something is difficult. And say, please, you know, please note that this is not a finalized statement, but then the region will be sensitive about that, and then that's fine. That's what we'll put in. We'll say an interim statement by Aralo regarding this, and then, you know, it's all just sharing information. You need to send it to me, and if you think it's risky, don't send it.
I mean, because I try and do stuff like, three new at-large structures joined at-large, one from here, one from there, and all that. I'd send that kind of thing. I mean, I try and send in some of those kind of things anyway.
I think that'd be good. So I've got here the radio thing. Now, that's worth talking about, I think, because we've not, well, I don't know whether Frederick's been working on it. I've not done any work on the radio aspect because I'm still just not sure what you need or want, frankly. What do you need? What do you want?
Well, let me tell you what it is. You see those same statements that you make on the briefs that we can put out? If those can be ad-voiced, radio is still... you get 2 million people listening to the radio and listening to the government broadcast every afternoon. The government has a slot on local radio where they broadcast public information. And they're always asking for stuff. I mean, if you can have a little blurb that you can put on that, it doesn't require any production, it's just slot and move up. That's the kind of things we're looking for. Nothing extraordinary.
Dave Pizzitello does a podcast on security issues from an end-user perspective. And he's said that he's willing to have those get reused. We could also have audio briefings on, you know, the very basic introductory information to an issue that could just be... I mean, we're recording them. We're starting to hold them now for people to sign in telephonically, but you could slightly change some of those and have them read out.
That's it. That's it. There's nothing more complicated than that. It's just that we're looking for the bang. And if you use the radio, there's a hell of a bang to it. Because more people listen to radio than read newspapers.
Okay, so what about if we take one of these documents that has come out that's been approved and find someone to voice it, and then we'll put that out and see if that's the sort of thing. We'll do one or two, provide them at Cairo.
Someone with a radio voice, though.
Someone with a radio voice.
It's going to be read in that... radio
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The problem is now I'm in Los Angeles.
Who does radio to just read it?
Now I'm in Los Angeles. I don't. I know a lot of people in London that can do this. And mind you, I might go and see them next week.
There are lots of people in London who can do this. Go down near Bebo's and you find a million of them in that little warren down there.
Go in a studio for an hour and you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Every relo here are interested about this radio outreach.
Brett Fawcett used to have a nice program called the Internet Pro Radio, and it was very interesting.
Didier, I know you.
Yes, it is.
Okay, sir. It is interesting, but we have to work on the content, what will be broadcasted. We need to make sure that the message is understood. So in some contexts, probably we have to broadcast this in Swahili, for example, for Eastern Africa or in Wolof or something like that. So we make sure that the content is right and then the language used is understandable.
Didier, do you have a few contacts with stations so we could then go and say, look, we'll get, you know, if you tell us, look, we need something about this long in this language.
No, what I can tell you, I think in my context in Congo, for example, if you have some material for TV, it's very easy because there is a slot for IT. There is many TV that are looking for content. You know, they already have space for ICT. So if I can provide content to them, they'd be happy, for TV especially. But I can check also for radio. But I know for sure that if you have some, you know, something about the story of the Internet, how we are from, where we are going, etc., it's very easy to be broadcasted.
What is an IDN?
Yeah, I'm me give you an example.
With people showing video of a browser with Arabic script and whatever.
Yeah, simple things. We have almost every Caribbean island, we have what's called a schools broadcasting service. And it's a subset of the public broadcasting service. And they broadcast into schools. And before podcasts, there was a thing called Rediffusion that they use a sideband of a radio, of the radio service, regular FM band, and a sideband is used, and that information is piped directly into special receivers in the schools. Now they've gone away with the idea. Now they have a schools broadcasting service. Every Ministry of Education that I've been in contact with, I've been in several of them. When I talk about what we're doing with ICTs and so on, and anything related to ICTs, they're always looking for content. Always. It's not just radio. I got two 2,500 comic booklets from Arin last week, and I send them to the Ministry of Education. And I got a note that said, well, thank you very much. Well, can we have some more? Because some schools only had one. That kind of thing. They are looking for content, and if it comes from a source that they believe in, you can get content spread easily. I mean, long as you have the material, everybody's learned about the internet in schools. They just don't have a lot of good stuff, and so you know, if you choose a topic, there's stuff. Make a series of it, little pieces, every month. Don't try to go the whole hog. Just let's start with something. I guarantee you there are channels to get it out in the countries. There are channels.
I entirely support this. I was just thinking about circumstance and context, how we could utilize this into European context. I can easily imagine BBC programs. In Switzerland, we only have one English-speaking channel. This is Swiss Info. And I can talk to the guys whether this would be useful for parts of their programs, etc. So let's just try it out. But I can imagine many community radios in African countries or in Asia, they would be pleased because it's exactly the reasonable, the useful program components which are often missing.
Pavan, do you think that, .Asia does a great deal of public communication and advertising and all that. I mean, do you think that there would be outlets that you are already communicating with that would be receptive to receiving this kind of thing? Or could you ask, I guess, if you don't know?
Asia-Pacific perspective of stuff and stuff like that. Communication would be easier done by email and start reaching out to the people about the internet. But then, as he was mentioning about schools, like getting them started at a young age, it's already being done in the Asia Pacific for some reason.
Yeah. If this information were available, do you think there are outlets in Asia that would take it?
I think so. Yeah, it would be. It would work. It would work in the Asia Pacific region.
Okay, so I'm going to put a downer on it. Which is the actual, you know, we can talk about, you know, all I think this, and I'd love to be able to knock all these things up, but I'm looking at the time and resources, meaning money, and it's going to be extremely difficult because this requires, so, for example, 1-1 IDNs, we need to get a script, and we need to get the script approved, and you already know that it's taken a year to get an IDN's fact sheet through. Then we need to find the funds, then we need to find the time, then we need to find the translations, and then do it professionally, and then provide it. And then it's basically going to land on me and Nick and Frederick. And will we have time for it? I think we'll have time to grab one. We can focus on one, and we can try and get it in maybe 5 languages, but I think we should do one and say we're going to do one, and then you're going to have to take it and give us a ton of feedback, and then say, you know, and say this is, it was here, it was seen by these people and this thing.
Just get all the books.
The problem that I found, in the last year is I go off on too many projects and end up like half doing most of them. And so this year I've decided that determined to do stuff and like small amount of stuff and finish it off. The other thing, there is a money issue with this. If you want to get more funds for this, go to the budget meeting and say to Kevin Wilson, the CFO, you've got to put more funds in a wider participation and tell him that, and then it'll be much easier to make an internal argument because this isn't cheap. And it's resource hungry, which is another issue. So I'm sorry to put a down on it. So I think we should focus on one. I think you should choose a topic, and we'll run with one for Cairo. And then you're really going to have to come back and give lots and lots of feedback on how you used it. And then if that's deemed to be successful, then we'll go with it. Is that a good deal?
For what it's worth, I put this suggestion forward for the budget round. But I don't know if it will go through, because until the summit decision is made, the whole at large budget is up in the air. But I did put money enough to do probably one or two of these in.
Okay, that's great. So the money, if it survives through the budget process, there's still the time thing. So this is my suggestion, that we focus on one, and we really work on it, and we produce one in multiple languages, and then really. We pump that out in time for Cairo and see what we can do from there. And if it's a huge success, we'll do more. If it's sort of we'll figure out other ways of doing it.
Perhaps you all could talk about what would be the subject of the first one, which one you think would be most usable in most places.
I will start with a question. What is the objective of this? We want... It's because we want more participation to the decision-making on the policy development, or we want to have people aware of internet. I think if we are trying to have more participation on internet debate, probably radio is not a good way, because those who cannot access the email cannot participate to the debate.
I got a clear view on that. It's like, for example, there's been a hell of a lot of press the last 2 days just because of this new GTLD thing. And a couple of interviews we finally gave, we started talking about the realities of you could have a dot this and using actual possible strings. Now, you all know we've been discussing new GTLDs for I don't know how many years, and I've done everything I can to try and involve people, but suddenly when you start talking about actual things, people start getting excited and it starts picking up. IDNs, to my mind, is the one thing that we all know about, that no one in the world knows about, and they're going to go crazy when they see, in a good way, when they see that they'll be able to get, you know, top-level domains in Chinese, Russian, Arabic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's going to blow people's minds, and so I think that would be the thing. Would just be this is number one. This exists. Number two, there's this body called ICANN that's helping develop this, and then that some people will filter through to the actual sitting down doing the policy, but mostly it'd be the awareness. And I'd hope it would build up more and more ALSs so that you could start coming to meetings saying, as a representative of 420,000 people that have signed up through the system, I'd like to make this point. At which point ALAC becomes a very much more influential body.
That's the point I wanted to make, so thank you for making that point for me. I mean, it's a multi-hued outcome you're looking for. You're trying to get people more understanding of ICANN and what it is. Well, a hell of a lot of people don't even know what ICANN is. You have to get people involved in the process, and sometimes, as I continue to say to my friends, look, it's not every issue is going to resonate with people everywhere the same way. It isn't. You are going to probably hit a dry hole on IDNs in the Caribbean. You probably will, because most everybody is English or Spanish, or, you know, and that's it. But with something like, you know, talking about GTLDs and what it might mean in practical terms, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of feedback on that.
Well, all I would say is we don't have to actually decide what the subject is today. But, you know, if you can perhaps think about it, you know, it might be in some regions a real end user understandable, like you have a street a street address, did you know you also have an IP address, and that IP addresses are changing, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. So we don't have to solve it today, but I think the answer, Didier, is it will be very difficult for ICANN to be sold on the idea of doing general internet education, especially from the outgoing. If you start by targeting this at people who either know what the internet is in some basic way and have some connectivity to it, it'll be a lot easier for us internally to sell this. I think having an ultimate outcome in which there is some education about an area of the internet that leads into a discussion of a subject, I think that could be managed. But I don't think we can do generalist internet education. I also think there'll be some objections to it from a number of quarters of people saying, well, why are you not doing general internet education when you only do names and numbers? So
there will be a lot of objections to anything that isn't work that ICANN does on the policy.
It's the way you message it. It's the way you message it every time.
Yeah.
So maybe what we can do is to not really come up now with a subject, but we can use the ideas that we have just developed here and trying to implement this pilot program, and maybe the staff could send you some proposal of subjects, and we can implement it until the Cairo meeting. Okay? Another thing here, what I would like, if it is possible...
Didier's on the queue.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so my question is, we have many dormant LSEs. We have many LSEs who are not participating in the debate at all. So probably the priority is to wake up all the LSEs who are not participating to the debate. And before trying to have more LSEs, we can try to work on that. So probably we have to communicate in that way. Do you have any idea, or I don't know, can we share any idea to how to wake up the dormant LSEs?
I've got an idea. If your region is able to get at video, I don't know whether you're in the new GGRD's discussion yesterday, which is actually pretty good, I think. And we've got all that filmed, and we've got the people downstairs working on producing an edited version of that and the longer version of that, and we're going to upload it to this thing called .sub, which enables you to transcribe it so you can do it in multiple languages. And that will be up in the next few days, stroke week, depending on how much craziness happens in between. So that could be, because that was quite an interesting discussion and fairly broad and sort of covering interesting topics. That might be a way of sending people links to videos. That might be a way of getting people rolling in.
That one can help for a country, but you know, in Africa the context is different. I think in the Caribbean island it's different. You have the radio that cover all the islands. But in Africa, if you want to, you know, the radio that broadcast in Kenya are not listening to in Senegal. In Senegal, they don't know any what's happening in South Africa radio, etc. And then the only radio that who broadcasts everywhere is BBC or RFI. So probably you have to use UK radio or French radio if you want to reach all Africans by radio. So I think that radio will not help ALCs in Africa. I don't know. I think it's not possible. Unless you use BBC or RFI.
Is it that you don't have local radio stations?
Because we have thousands of local radios. So okay. You can use, the radio you will use in Kenya will be broadcast in Swahili and cannot be listened in Angola, where you have to use Portuguese. And then if you want to use the same in Nigeria, you will use not the same. You know, you don't have the broadcast station that cover all Africa, from Africa. The only radio who cover Africa are from Europe.
Yeah, but we have the same thing in the Caribbean. You know, there are 10 or so radio stations in Jamaica that you might hear some of them in Cuba because it's only 90 miles away, but you can't hear them in Barbados. Everybody listens to BBC. We have a BBC relay in Jamaica, for example, and it's a different relay in Jamaica than you get in Barbados. That's about language. That's about language and language cantons.
So are we...
It's about coverage. Who can cover all the continent? This is a question of coverage also.
Right, I understand that. But the point I'm making is that even the radios... Here's my thing. There's 2.8 million Jamaicans, okay? And almost all of them listen to radio. If at the minute, we're talking to a group of probably 200 people. if I can double that to 300, and I know I can by going into the schools, to 300 and get 300 enthused about it, that's a better thing than having the first 200. And if I can use the same thing and move it forward in different areas, the same piece of content that is developed, and I can ship that content to Barbados, to Jamaica, to Trinidad, to Montserrat, to Antigua, and so on, that there's a multiplier effect there. It's the same thing with Spanish. If you have a Spanish broadcast that you can ship to Honduras and Costa Rica and Guatemala, where there's very little involvement, it might in fact help. That's the point.
I think we are trying to run before start walking. What from my perspective, what ELEC needs now is to have only 15 good comments on real issues that may influence in the policies in a pragmatic way. So let's pick an easy subject. Let's say we don't want to start with our briefing with Fastflux hosting. Let's start with new GTLDs, something like that, and start gathering information from the ALSs. Because, I mean, that was the original idea of this gigantic bureaucratic structure we're creating here, and we're not getting any result. I mean, we are not working in funneling all the ALSs concerned into the ICANN development process. So we don't need 200 people to comment or 1,000 people to educate. I mean, that's really a nice, but it's in the desire level. What we really need now is to have active participation from at least a couple of ALSs, particularly from regions like Africa and Latin America, to really get into the policy discussions.
That is a position that I take a strong exception to. Let me tell you why. There are ALSs that are in Latin America. They are staffed by people who are fluent in multiple languages. There are lots of lawyers. They do not participate. Why do they not participate? When we started back in November of 2006, 2007, I traveled, take a whole day, whole night to travel to Argentina to get into this thing, okay? There were people there who were wedded to the idea that, yes, we could make a difference. You know why? Because until I was contacted, I did not know, I knew of ICANN, but I did not know of an ALAC in ICANN for all the years that the ALAC existed. And I'm probably one of the better informed people in the Caribbean. And I did not hear of ALAC. And there were people who were working in ALAC. The reason why that happens is that you never had a broadcast. It was a closed shop. I reject any idea that because you don't hear about it now, you cannot make a contribution if you know about it. And I'm saying, if we give more people the opportunity to hear about the work of ICANN and ALAC, what you'll probably get is better ALS participation, because you will begin to win out those who are truly interested in the policy topics that's happening here. It is not a lack of knowledge why some people don't participate now, because they know of ICANN and ALAC. It's because they're not interested. So you have to cast the net a little wider to get more people of interest together. That is the solution to participation, because there are lots of people who are in ALSs now who don't participate, who don't, because they're really not. I mean, some things just don't bother them. That's all it is.
Just a few comments. I think you hit the point. It's an interest. So are they interested in the ICANN process? But I think when the ALS is signed with ICANN, it means that the ALS is interested in the process. But the point is interest. We have to interest people.
Yeah, and it's not only about incentives. I think on one hand, we need clear objectives. You know, many organizations did not participate, at least in our region, because we don't have a clear view of how meaningful our participation is. So we may choose to participate in many other ways. I think that if we start focusing on real issues in a pragmatic way, you will be surprised about the amount of participation.
So I would put in as a suggestion that you all choose one subject that you know you'll reach most people is, and then pull people in using that. I would say probably new GTLDs, because the good thing about new GTLDs is you can use whatever is for your region. So you say, oh, we could have .Caribbean, or we could have .LAC. We could, and that way you can change and alter the same message but with the same bring-in point.
That's right.
But then don't even mention about fast flux until they're sucked into the system. You know? Otherwise, they're going to go, oh, my God. You look at the depth of policy work that ICANN is doing right at this very moment. It's enormous. And it's terrified people off. That would be my suggestion. Grab one, and we'll all work on it together, and then we'll pull people in.
That's exactly how you do it. That's exactly how you do it. You've got to find out what interests people and move. Because I can tell you one, I am stretched to think about the main tasting because I've already figured it out in my head. You have a situation that is a creature of contract. You change the contract, you got rid of it. And all this argy-bargy about it is ridiculous. That's my view. And so you can't get me all enthused about the main tasting. I'm really not, because it's so obvious what the solution is. Now, if you talk about new GTLDs and all that obtains, I am interested in that, and I can tell you there are lots of people who would be interested in that. I totally agree with you. It is the topic, and you got to choose the right one.
I'm sure we could have a very fruitful discussion about this for some time, but I'm aware that in 15 minutes, the meeting with the board and the whole community will start in this room, so don't go anywhere. But there is one other subject on the agenda, which is the ALAC review. I would say that it's probably not something that needs a lot of discussion now, because as you know, there's going to be several months of follow-up to the ALAC review. Firstly, once they finish the final report, there will be a long consultation period. I know that there are already some strong views on the report. We don't even have the French and Spanish versions back from the translators and won't until Wednesday. So my suggestion would be that the regions talk about it on their conference calls once they've had time to read it in the languages that they use. And we will provide you with more details on the timeline. But I'm sure that the public consultation on the final draft will start at some point before Cairo, but I couldn't tell you. I don't think anyone knows for sure more than that at the moment.
Could I come back into something about outreach, assuming that we've sort of dealt with that? And that is, one of the things that brought my ALS in was Jacob having run a meeting in Toronto and having attracted a number of ALSs, and there were a couple of meetings that were done like this. We've had some discussions in the past about actually getting the Rallos involved in doing some outreach events themselves. And it was bandied about, but I guess never officially approved, with the idea of allocating budget that would allow each RALO to go to a couple of events a year to do outreach. I'd like to get an update on that. We've already had a discussion on our RALO, and I think we've come up with a rough agreement on four events that we would like to go to that would be phenomenally diverse events. They're not attracting the same audiences that I think would allow us to go out, do outreach, and grab people by the collar and bring them into the process.
Just to clarify, in case there's any confusion, the proposal that was made was, I think, all RALOs felt that they should be able to do what Evan has just described. I did put this forward along, as I said, with all the other proposals that the community put forward for the budgeting process. I put them all forward to the budget round. And there is no news on the at-large budget, what is in and what is not in it, until the summit decision is made. So I do not know what the budget is for next year, and so I cannot tell you whether anything is in or out of it.
Can I say with that, as general manager of public participation, I think if the way to approach the outreach thing is to focus not on the money. That's going to go, because then it's going to become a money issue. Focus on the saying, we need these tools, and these are the people we've got, and these are the people we've brought in, and focus on the people. And if you've got the people, then the money will come. And also, if you've got the people, then I can go around making, in my role, making a very big fuss about, we've got these people. So if you, with the outreach thing, you go for the people, not for the money, I guarantee you it will work better.
In our particular case, that isn't the issue. We've identified events. We've identified the people that will go to the events. We're just waiting for the capacity to do that. I mean, we've already figured that out.
What I mean by that is if there's 35 people turn up at the Cairo meeting because of it, and you say, these are the 35 people, and then if a load of people sign up on newsletters and say, these are all the people, and then you send an email saying, you spoke to this person, i.e. bring the people in and give them names and faces. Because the focus is on that we need the money to be able to get these people. I don't think that will be as effective. That's just my advice.
It's a kind of chicken and egg situation, isn't it?
Yes.
First you, well.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Bring the people in, and then we'll give you the money to bring those people in.
If you focus on the people, you'll find ways of getting them in, and then the money will come. That's just my advice. It will work more effectively if you always think, how do I get the people, rather than I need the money to get the people.
In any case, the request was received, the request was put forward. We shall see what happens related to the board's decision on the summit. And at that point, it will be possible to know what is in the budget and what is not. So until then, it's a what-if discussion we're having, which probably isn't that useful.
Well, the other reason why I say that is because, like, for exactly the next point, if you focus on the money, now we're waiting on seeing whether the money's there. And then you go, well, we can't really do much until whether we've got the money or not got the money. Focus on getting the people, and then you'll have a system in place. And then when someone says, well, I don't know, it will work better. That's all I'm saying. I want to say very quickly, because it's closing up, I've got a Kieran on this. Public consultations enhancement. Very quickly, yes, I hope that you recognize we've made a lot of changes and improvements on that. The big one will come when we move to better public comment period software, which we're working on, and that will make all of these things much easier because it will be automated. But it's a lot stronger, and the ICANN as an organization is taking public comment periods much, much more seriously. Which is in everyone's interest. And just quickly on the ALAT review thing, I know this, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but because I was talking to Patrick Sherry and Carl Auerbach about it, they've got what they're calling office hours. There's 1 hour, 2 hour meetings on Wednesday and Thursday, I think. It's on the par.icann.org site. So I think that's a good point to pop up then and start saying to people what your views are, because they've been organized as informal conversations. So I think... if you pop up and you say, I think this, I think that, I think that would be a good entry point rather than get into an argument later.
Well, I think we have to wrap up now since the next meeting is 10 minutes away and people are already arriving for it. So perhaps we can have a secretariat's teleconference. We haven't had one in a while. And pick up on some of these subjects after the budget decisions have been made and all the rest. Perhaps in mid-July. Something like that, after people have gone back to their regular jobs for a little while.